The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the Kiefer and Curry. Here's what we got going into week 9. UAB has a historic victory. FSU's got a decision to make. How much is Nick Saban worth? Billy Napier is gone after a win. Beamer says he's good, even though he's 3-4. And if you listen to Las Vegas, and you know we have your son on the show called K4 Wins, Indiana has got the third best shot at winning a national title in college football this year. Look at you. Hey, I mean, it is time. That's how crazy this college football year has been.
Oh, I'm on board with that. I keep thinking about Jack Nicholson in As Good As It Gets, when the Filipino made for Greg Kinnear after he'd been beat up and he can't afford to pay anymore. She's imploring him to take care of him and walk his dog and all that stuff. And he said, what kind of a Manila hump bar did you come after, get that accent from? And he says at the end of it, go sell crazy somewhere else. All stocked up here. That's my thought on college football.
That is one of the greatest lines in movie history for sure. So I'm going to go one by one, because these things are just popped right off my head. First of all, normally I wouldn't bring up the UAB thing, but it was the second biggest upset in college football this year, a 23.5-point dog. Alex Mortensen comes in. That's Chris Mortensen's son. And he's going to join us on ABC 33.
He's not
going to
big time us. He's going to be with us on Saturday.
They're actually off this Saturday. They have the bye week, so he's going to join us in studio.
Oh, that's great.
Yep, so he's going to join us.
I was afraid he was going to say, I was going to come on with you guys, but nope. I'm going to go on with the big dogs. If Chris comes on with me, I'll be a Chris Mortensen fan for the rest of the time.
I thought it was great. Kevin Skarbinski is Kevin. He's just a big sourpuss. I've known Kevin for years, but he actually sent out a tweet that Hugh Freeze and Alex Mortensen both have the same number of top 25 victories. At their schools.
Absolutely.
I was like, damn, that is bold, brother. That's pretty good. So any thoughts on UAB before we move on? We're going to rip through these things. Any thoughts on UAB? They're down 3-4. A couple of these games, obviously, they could have won. They're now talking about this as a possible bowl team, which would be amazing. And of course,
who's talking about that? Really?
The athletic director is, for one.
Okay.
All they got to do is, when they got Rice coming up, they've got
no good.
They got South Florida coming up.
That's not good.
They got North Texas coming up.
That's still tough.
But you just beat Memphis, for God's sake.
Yeah, but Tony, let's get a little semblance. Yeah,
bring me back down a little bit. You know, I'm still excited. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, they beat Memphis, yes, but. We've been talking about, and I'm taking nothing away from that. That was an unbelievable effort. That was a fantastic win. It's just epic. But in the scheme of things, it's the same group of players that got blown out 2 weeks ago by Florida Atlantic, who's awful. It is the same team. It's a different leader. I think the bigger story is, and I think you and I have been talking about that with our other partners on K4. We've been talking about coaches coming in the middle of the year. And our question has been, does it give a bump to those teams? And I think it's pretty clear in every case this year where there's been a new coach, all of a sudden, it didn't really work for Penn State, although they played a lot better at Iowa. They only lost by 1 point. But in other cases, I mean, look what UCLA did after they got rid of Deshaun Foster after a couple weeks. They completely ran Penn State out of the stadium and then went to Michigan State and blew them out. UCLA now has won against Maryland. They've won 3 in a row since then. So that's supports your UAB premise a little bit, but I think it's the bump of a new coach. But before we get into, they got to win 3 more games. And
it's okay to dream, my man.
Games in there.
It's okay to dream, my man. Well, listen, you're in the AAC, so every game's winnable. Let's just be honest. I mean, because everyone thought that Memphis was head and shoulders above everyone else. They had the inside track to get the top 12 team. They did. All they had to do was win out.
And
they,
now
they,
South they, Florida has it.
And now all of a sudden South Florida's got it. And of course, they've got a monster ball game coming up this weekend. It's going to be a game actually at Memphis. So that's going to be interesting. All right. FSU has come out.
Good for you. Good for UAB. I'm rooting for them. Yeah. I'd love to see UAB go to a bowl game. But I don't know if that's really realistic at this point, because I'm haunted by the fact it's still the same players that lost to Florida Atlantic.
I just can't imagine. They made two changes at the quarterback position and at the head coach position. And somehow they pulled that win off. It wouldn't have surprised me if Memphis had beaten it by 60. That's how bad I thought they were going to look. And for them to even hold them, it was just amazing. It was amazing. It was good. FSU says they have a decision to make, but they're not making it till the end of the year. It would cost them $54 million to buy out Mike Norvell. They are 5-15.
Ridiculous.
They are 5-15 since the 2023 ACC championship game.
Yeah, they've lost 9 ACC games in a row now.
This guy obviously is running off what happened 2 years ago, not last year when they went 2-10. They beat Bama to start the season. Now they've lost their last 3 in a row. And I don't even know what that means. If you sit there and say, we're going to make a decision at the end of the year, he's done, right? I mean, he's done,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He'd have to win the rest of his games to change that, and that's not going to happen. They lost. I was, after watching football for 15 hours Saturday, unbelievably, I went down and laid down thinking I was going to pass right out. I couldn't sleep. So I got up and I turned the games back on, and it was the fourth quarter of the Stanford FSU game. Yeah. 1:30 in the morning, and I couldn't look away. It was like looking at a 50 car pileup. Two of the worst teams I've ever seen on the field. It was the Inept Bowl. They both were terrible, and the officials were worse. I mean, for the last 8 minutes of that game, it took like an hour and a half. Every play was reviewed. The officials were confused about where to spot the ball. It was just absolute chaos. It was I just talked about chaos on Need to Know. Chaos at the Stanford, and Stanford is god awful, Tony. They are
they're one of the worst 5 teams in college football, definitely.
And for that game to end like it did, 1 inch from the goal line, Florida State got Castellanos got knocked out of the game on a targeting call and couldn't continue. They brought a freshman in who never played. He's just flinging the ball around. It was like a high school offense. Yeah. But a Florida State guy made an unbelievable catch, set him up at the goal line, and they run a shovel pass. It gets stopped this short, and it takes the crew like an hour to decide if it's a touchdown or not. It was just an absolute debacle.
I cannot remember ever a coach losing his job midseason after a victory. And Billy Napier did it this past weekend. Can you? I at the end of the year, absolutely. I've seen coaches lose their jobs after getting victories at the end of the season, but I've never seen a coach lose his job after a victory midseason. Have you? I can't think of one. I mean, I've been trying to research and go Billy Napier, of course, out at Florida. He's had enough issues as well. They're going to owe him $21 million, by the way. It is now the second time in 7 years that Florida is going to be paying 3 different head coaches at the same time. The last time was Will Muschamp, Jim McElwain, and Dan Mullen. 22-23 was his record there at Florida. Obviously not what they were expecting with Billy Napier. I'll never forget we had Tim Brando on our show. I want to say it was on the starting lineup last season, and we were asking which protege or which former assistant coach under Nick Saban will win a national title first, and he said Billy Napier. He thought Billy Napier was going to be the one, and of course Tim's been known to be wrong once in a while, but he was off on that. Thoughts?
But Tim's not afraid to get out. He'll go out. He'll get out there. Limb.
Oh, and he'll bring it back. He'll bring it back up again.
The shaky limb, Tony, is the shaky limb breaks off a lot of times.
It sure does, and he just hops back on again. He's riding it like a horsey. Your thoughts on and so Florida is a great gig, right? That's a great gig.
One of the best.
So
two things happen here. Number one, Billy Napier and my partner on radio, Terry Quillian, reported this first about a month ago. Scott Strickland last year was standing by his man, Billy Napier. I'm all in with Billy. He's going to get this thing going. Scott Strickland's whole tone changed about week 3 of this season when the Florida powers that be decided that Scott Strickland does such a great job of raising money for the athletic department. He won a national championship in basketball. Scott Strickland's our man. As soon as Scott Strickland got that new contract, Tony, all of a sudden he wasn't going to, Billy Napier wasn't going to drag him to the bottom of the sea if he fired his guy, because he went out and got Billy and stood by him. All of a sudden, Billy became dead man walking because Scott Strickland was secure. That was part A. Part B was the Florida boosters, anybody who is kicking money into that program, basically got the message to Scott Strickland, we're not putting in 10 more cents. That's it for us until this guy is gone. We are not paying another dime to this athletic department until you shit can Billy Napier, because he is a disaster.
Florida Gator fans were booing Billy Napier at the end of that ballgame.
They were yelling, fire Billy. They're winning the game.
After they won. Another guy who I'm not saying I like him. I thought he did a great job last year. He was one game away from going for a national title in the playoffs. Shane Beamer came out after the game this weekend and said he's not interested in the Virginia Tech job. Evidently, his name is floating around, and someone needs to tell him that he's 3-4 at South Carolina. He goes, I'm doing everything here at South Carolina to turn this thing around and play like we did last year where we're playing for a national title. You're 3-4. You better be open for a Virginia Tech job, because it may be where you're heading, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, because I don't like South Carolina's future very much either. They got Alabama coming to town this week, so I think 3-5, Tony, is a real possibility. I don't think that rebuild is going real well this
Alabama
year.
Alabama favored by 13.5 in that particular game, and if you listen to Las Vegas right now, I just pulled up the odds. The odds to win the national title: Ohio State number 1, Alabama number 2, Indiana tucked in number 3, and Notre Dame number 4, which is unbelievable.
You know how I rail against rankings. Yeah. The rankings are the stupidest thing in the world. If you go by who teams have played and who they've beaten, and I know you've got to penalize teams that lose. Notre Dame lost their first game at Miami and then lost to an undefeated team that the current polls have at number 3, Texas A&M. That's two. And both those games were close.
Their schedule has been tough all year. I mean, it has been. And then they get it done against USC this past weekend. They win by 10, which was huge.
I mean, Notre Dame was ranked 15th coming into the weekend. It's not based on wins and losses. It can't be. If it's going to be a ranking, you got to rank teams based on what you see and what their personnel is and who they've actually beaten. If it's just by wins and losses, and that's all Indiana's been riding for 2 years now, they did beat Oregon. That was a really good win. I'll give them credit for that. That is one legitimate win they've had. But the rest of their schedule has been such a joke that, you know, I don't give Indiana that much credence. And Oregon, I have to even kind of question them a little bit. I'm questioning the whole Big Ten. Oregon's big win was against Penn State. How good does that look right now?
Yeah, that team is fine.
I mean, that's their only claim to fame this year.
Did you like the fact that Franklin got on ESPN? By the way, it was during our show.
That was kind of weird to me.
It was a little strange. I appreciate the fact that he stepped up and did that. I thought he said all the right things. And obviously he's going to coach again somewhere as soon as he possibly wants to. Miss Terry, Nick Saban's wife, was also on ESPN this past weekend. And of course, Pat McAfee, who's just a, say what you want about the guy, he's just a blowhard. He's an idiot. You either love him or hate him. Anyway, he was asking Miss Terry, you know, what's it going to take to get Nick Saban back off the couch and back in the coaching ranks? And she said she have not heard the right number yet. When it comes to money, she said, I haven't heard the right number yet. And he's like,
wow.
So let me, that's interesting.
That's the first I've heard this.
Yeah. She said, I have not heard the right number yet. And he kind of smirked and he's sitting there listening to you. So let me throw out a question to you. And I'm being serious here. What number would you not be willing to give Nick Saban if you knew he'd bring you a national title at your school within 3 years? What's the price where it doesn't make sense to give him $50 million a year? If you know definitively he's going to bring you a national title within 3 years at La Monroe or at South Carolina or at UNLV or at UAB or at Auburn, what number would you be willing to go up to, and what number do you think you could get out of your fan base and your alumni and your boosters to bring him to town? If you definitively knew he was going to bring you a national title within 3 years, what's that number?
Because
Cignetti just signed a deal where he's getting $11 million a year. Pardon my French, which is a ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean,
it is
good for him, and he's got a great agent. That's amazing, and most of it is like guaranteed money. I don't know how he went from $4 million to $8 million to $11 million in less than 365 days.
He did.
Which is amazing. Yeah. Good for him. I mean, he's fantastic. It's unbelievable. But what number do you say, let's figure it out. We got to raise it, make it happen.
I think the premise is flawed, though. I don't care if you're giving Nick Saban $100 million. He's not going to win a national championship at UNLV or Louisiana Monroe. I mean, he's not an American. No, but the question, he's not Jesus Christ.
No, but the question is, I'm asking you a question. I want to know what you think a national title is worth.
Well, you mentioned those schools and got me off.
Well, I did. Because I want to know what you think a national title is worth. What, you know, and obviously you're looking at facilities, you know, obviously I don't know what they have at the Bearcats at Cincinnati or something, but I mean, you know, we saw Steve Spurrier go to South Carolina, right? He tried to do something that we'd never seen before. And of course he won a national title at Florida. And we're like, there's no way. And we saw him come close, not as close as he had obviously Florida, but if there's one guy that you feel like could turn any program around within a period of time, it would be Nick Saban. He's got 7 natties, and I don't think his tank is empty. But is it what would it be worth a group of 5 school? Would it be $30 million? Would it be 25?
I was going to say 25. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think at a high profile school that has the facilities and has the resources and has the alumni and the fan base and the money, Nick Saban, and you know, Marcus Freeman's doing a great job at Notre Dame. If Nick Saban was at Notre Dame, they could pay him $25 million. I think he probably won a national championship, but the clock's ticking, 22. Nick is 73 years old or whatever. I mean,
if you're Florida or you're Penn State, might as well make the call, right? I mean, you're calling his agent saying, hey, listen,
I would think so. Sure.
I mean,
I'm hearing Urban Meyer, and I don't think Urban Meyer is, because these guys have done it in their prime. The last time we saw Urban Meyer coach, he was getting involved in weird stuff at Jacksonville and got fired after 1 year at the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I don't think it's not a miraculous situation. It doesn't guarantee you success. And I also, and Alabama fans won't like this, but you know, Nick won a championship in 2020, with Alabama, the COVID year, which is questionable there's got to be an asterisk by that. It's only a 10 game season. Nick coached in 21, 22 and 23. Alabama did not win a national championship in any of those 3 years. His assistant Kirby Smart won 2 of those. Mm-hmm. And the other one was won by Michigan, who beat him in the semifinals that year when Alabama was not the best team in the SEC. They happened to catch Georgia on a good day and beat them in the championship game and got in the playoffs. Georgia was a better team in 2023, but Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkie, who would be the first and third guys in the NFL in number of receptions the next year. Brock Bowers, rookie of the year, could not play in that Alabama game. So Nick did not win the national championship Alabama in any of his last 3 years. So with the landscape changing, Tony, is Nick Saban still in a position to be the dominant coach he's always been with the playing field so leveled? The players are spread out over so many different institutions now. Maybe he'd get every blue blood player come to a Notre Dame or a Penn State. I don't know. But I don't think it's a guarantee that Nick Saban would win a championship.
No, I don't think so either. But I do think that of all the coaches you have to pick from, he'd probably have the best shot. What if he did? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but we say, listen, If you told me Bill Belichick was going to be coach in North Carolina a year ago, I would have told you you're full of shit. I would have said, yeah, right. That's Mike Tomlin taking the Auburn job, right? I mean, that's like, you know, whenever the Auburn job opens up, it's always John Gruden, it's Billy Cowher. Remember Bill Cowher's name came up a million times. It's like, he's not going to go to Auburn. But I mean, that's how strange that hire was. Bill Belichick going to North Carolina. So, I mean, to sit there and say, no, Nick Saban will never, I don't know. I mean, you just said it was one of the strangest years I've ever seen in college football. How does the Alabama fan feel about him coming back into coaching if it's not back at Alabama?
Oh, they'd be appalled. You know, yeah. Well, I mean, they're getting, DeBoer finally got the memo after they didn't show up at Florida State. Kalen DeBoer's attitude and his whole demeanor has been different. I think he finally understands what the assignment is here, and it's not West Coast football where you just.
With that being said, he could have lost any of the last four games.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's the other thing.
Everybody's buying big time on Alabama now. Alabama's been skirting. If you watch the Tennessee game, that was far from a virtuoso performance.
It was.
Without the 99-yard interception return, how different a game is that in the second half?
Yeah.
That goes down to the wire, I think. That's the fine line of college football. If Kirby Smart kicks the field goal and ties the game when Georgia's dominating the second half, how's that outcome?
Yep.
You make a great point there. It's not like Alabama's just crushing people. And I think every team's vulnerable. Miami the other night, rolling right along. People saying Miami's the best team in the country. They have nobody left on their schedule. Well, somebody forgot to tell Louisville that there are nobody, because that game was no fluke. Louisville's defense, Tony, stuffed Miami and intercepted Carson Beck four times. So, I mean, who do you count on now?
I know it's wide open, man.
Ohio State still played nobody.
We can't. I know, right?
They played Texas, and I keep telling you guys, no, you guys won't listen.
No, you're right. You're
Texas
right.
Texas sucks.
You know what? Texas. I think Texas is going to be in the final. They only got two losses. They're sitting there still in the top 25. They're only going to go as far as their defense goes. I mean, obviously, that defense lights out.
How lucky were they to win that game?
Mark Stoops
cost Kentucky. He's got the ball at the half yard line, and he runs up the middle three straight times. What a complete dumbass,
dude. No doubt. If you put Texas and Iowa, the over under is 10. It'd be like 10 and a half if Texas played Iowa. It would be horrible. All right, I gotta fly. We're gonna get ready for a big show again this weekend. We'll have Alex Morton is on our big show coming up on Saturday.
Fantastic.
Should be a lot of fun. Yeah. And we're gonna get anytime, and we're gonna get after it. Of course, the Legend will be on there along with Terry, and of course, Case Kiefer giving us some great things. Another big show going on at K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock Central, right here on our YouTube channel and wherever you get Tony Curry Radio. Appreciate you, my man. We'll catch up later.
Hey, it's wide open. There's probably 14 teams right now that I think can win the national championship. Crazy. So let's just embrace the fact that the landscape has changed and enjoy the ride.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.